Title of my message today is The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 43, to Him give all the prophets witness, that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. And Peter says that he commanded us to preach the gospel, to preach unto the people, and testify that God made him to be the judge of all. And here he is, this Gentile man, and Peter was sent over there to preach to him the gospel. And there's so many truths about our Lord Jesus Christ that'd be impossible to deal with all of them at one time. Just absolutely, utterly impossible. But it's a wonderful subject. It's a wonderful subject. You know, no matter where you take him up at, what subject you take about it, you can never exhaust it. You can never exhaust it. And the truth concerning him is he's the center of all history. He's the center of all history. He's the center of all biblical history. Biblical history is a subject that starts out in Genesis, and it shows you how the history of redemption starts out in Genesis 3:15, and it starts unfolding all the way through the Old Testament until Christ Himself comes. That's what biblical history is about, the history of redemption. And he's the one that was in the bosom of the Father and came to declare him. And he says, nobody knows who the Father is but me, and he to whomsoever the Father will reveal him. God loves his Son from all eternity. And everything in history pointed to him. And everything since his coming points back to him. All history centers in him. And everything that has happened points back to him. Our calendar proves that. Do you know our calendar proves that? You got B.C. and A.D., before Christ, and Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Isaiah spoke of him 600 years before he ever came. Moses spoke of him 1,500 years before he ever came. So all history was pointing to him. And all of our calendar says before Christ, B.C., before Christ. Then after Christ, after his death, then you have Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And now, here's Simon Peter preaching, going back to where he was. And to his coming. I'm here today to preach to you something that happened 2,000 years ago. So we've got history coming to him and history going back to him. So everything centers in him. And if God's been pleased to let us see that and know that and understand that, you're talking about a blessing. You know, Abraham, the scripture said this, Abraham saw his day. Now that was thousands of years before Christ came. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. How could that be? Well, same way you and I see. Same way you and I see. And the scriptures places that the Lord Jesus Christ and shows us the Lord Jesus Christ. And is pleased and plans and praying that Christ is the author and everything about the scriptures. And it teaches us the salvation that he accomplished. That he accomplished. Is the very essence of biblical Christianity. And why do I say biblical Christianity? Because there's Christianity, or Christian, so-called Christian, that does not resemble biblical Christianity. And so I try to say biblical Christianity, biblical salvation if I can. And that's what the Scriptures and the Lord Jesus Christ and what it says about Him is different than all other religions. Let me tell you this right up front. Our Lord did not come to establish a new religion. He came to establish salvation. He had promised to bring salvation. And all other religions is based on somebody's teaching, and if you'll follow those teachings, then you can, like Buddha. Buddha started with a man called Siddhartha sitting under a tree, and he decided that he was going to try to see what enlightenment was. And Buddha has been trying to teach people what enlightenment is since he was. But you take Buddha out of it, and somebody else would have come up with it. Ain't that right? You take Mohammedism, Muslims. It started with a man called Mohammed. But if Mohammed had never existed, they would have still come up with the religion like what Mohammed teaches now. Somebody would have done it. And you take all the Eastern religions, with that one that's got seven or eight arms and all kinds of heads and things like that, to cover all the religions. But all other religions, it's the teaching that matters. People go from all over the world to India to sit under some guru. But it's the teaching that matters. In biblical Christianity, it's the person that matters. It's based on a person. That's what he says to him, not just to him. Give all the prophets witness. And that's what we're talking about. And I tell you, Christ, you know, it's the person that matters, because we say that Christ Himself is salvation. Christ Himself is salvation. If you can have, you can be a Calvinist and miss Christ. You can be religious and miss Christ. The Pharisees miss Christ. The Sadducees miss Christ. A lot of the Jews miss Christ. And I tell you, Christ Himself is salvation. And that's why so many who claim to be Christians aren't. And I'll tell you why. Because that Christ as a person is not essential to them. Church is essential to them. Going to an altar is essential to them. Changing the way they live is essential to them. Quit drinking, smoking, and chewing, and running with them to do, that's, you can have that without Christ. You can train your dress codes and miss Christ. And I tell you what, now what people are doing, this is what I mean, the person's not essential to them. They either want to keep him in a manger, as a helpless infant, not like Simeon saw him when he took him up in his arms and said, "Now mine eyes see thy salvation," in a baby. "Now let thy servant depart in peace." But they want to keep him in a manger, or else they want to put him on a crucifix and keep him on a cross. And then if they ever get him off the cross, then they have to cooperate with him and work with him and let him do whatever he wants. That's what I'm talking about. You can have so-called Christianity, and when Christ is not an essential person to you. But now when Christ becomes essential to you, your life Himself, to me to live is Christ, is what Paul said. And I tell you, that's the thing about it. You know, you take Christ from the Bible. Take Christ out of the Bible. Take Christ from salvation. And what have you got? Nothing. It ceases. It vanishes. And that's why the salvation that God teaches us and brings out in the Bible is entirely about Him. Entirely about who He is. It said, Paul, you know, Peter said here, Jesus of Nazareth, God anointed him. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And we're witnesses of the things that he did. I'll tell you what, salvation of the Bible is entirely about him, who he is, what he did, why he did it, and who he did it for. Oh, you know, Galatians 1:8 says this. He says, if I myself, talking about himself, talking to the Galatians, if I myself come and preach another gospel than I've preached unto you, if an angel comes and preaches another gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. And you know what he said? A marvel that your soul soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. A gospel of works. A gospel of will. A gospel of will worship. And oh, I tell you. Why four gospels? Why do we have four gospels? Well, you let somebody see the same thing happen. You let somebody be on four corners and watch a wreck happen. And every one of them, when the law says, well, what happened? Well, where I sinned from, that fellow over there, he messed up. I was just standing at this corner and that guy hit that guy. I was on this corner, and listen, I was looking the other way. I didn't see anything. It's like a car. One side of it's red, the other side of it's white. And the middle of it's green. So a guy driving behind it, you say, what color is that car? It's green. The fellow drives up beside it, he says, what color is that car? That's white. Other guy goes on the other side, what color is that car? It's red. And they all told the truth, but the car, let me see, he talked the car. And that's why we have four gospels. Because there's so much to say about Christ that they had to go over and over and over, and all of them seen him as a different person and seen different things that he did and tells it in a different way from their point of view. And the Holy Ghost blessed them to put everything down just the way it's supposed to be. And the gospels are written to divine truth. Look over here in Luke with me. Look in Luke chapter 1. The gospel is written to divine truth. Define it. And the gospel can be defined. It can be defined for people to listen to. It really, truly can. And look what Luke says here in chapter 1, in verse 1. And this is what he says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. He said, we've taken it in hand. Everybody, there's a whole bunch of us that sat down to write down the things that we really believe, the things that we believe with all our hearts. Even as they, listen to this, as they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning, listen to this now, were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses of Christ. Eyewitnesses of what he did. And we were ministers of the word. Preaching the word. That's what Peter went over to do. To be a minister of the word. And it seemed good to me also. Now listen, this is really my poor little old mind has a hard time to get this. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. He said, I understand who Christ is. I understand. And all they had then was the Old Testament. And he said, I understand who Christ is. I understand who God is. I understand what he came to do. I understand what I am. I understand why Christ had to come. I understand what his death accomplished. I understand everything that God purposed to do for me in Christ before the foundation of the world, and did it in time through his blessed Son. He said, I understand that. And so he said, I wrote unto thee very first to write unto thee an order. I want to put this thing in order so you can follow the order of how things happened. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Oh, bless his name. And John 20:31 says this. He said, these are all written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing on him you might have life through his name. You know, 1 John was written because of heresy. And the heresy was that they denied that Jesus Christ was God come in the flesh. Because there was a people that came up and said it'd be impossible for him to come in the flesh because material body is nothing but sin, and it cannot manifest itself, and everything material is full of sin. So Christ could not have come in the flesh, because if he come in the flesh, he'd have to be like we are. But then listen, that's why John wrote, he says, you know, he that denies that Jesus Christ is the Christ is an antichrist. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God and has come. He's born of God. And I tell you, it's something to believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Why? And the Scriptures ask that. What do you believe about him? What do you believe about Christ? What do you believe about him? Is he a man only? Was he just a man? Was he just a man? Is he God and God only? Not God and man? Did he really come down here in flesh? Flesh? What did he do while he's here? And oh, listen, what in the world does his death mean? Our Lord asked that question twice. Look over with me in Matthew 22. Look in Matthew 22. Our Lord asked this question twice. And the last time Cody was here, he preached on this. He preached out of Matthew 16. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? But our Lord asked this question twice. In Matthew 22. Look down to verse 41. Pharisees came and asked him lots and lots of questions. And look what our Lord said. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Well, what a question. What think ye of Christ? Everybody's got an opinion about him. You know, Cody preached that last time he was here. Who do you say I am? Oh, you're a great prophet. You're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, you're somebody. I don't know exactly who you are. And Simon Peter raised up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But oh, look what he said. Now, what think you of Christ? And then he asked, whose son is he? That's another great question. Whose son is Jesus Christ? Who is he? They say unto him, why, he's the son of David. And that's true. That is true. And look what he says now. And he asked them a question. How then doth David... Now this is Psalm 110, verse 1. He said unto him, how then doth David, by his Spirit, call him Lord? Saying, that, see how that Lord, verse 44, the Lord is capitalized there, the whole word. That's Jehovah. Jehovah, my God, said unto my Lord, set down thy right hand till I make thine enemies with footstool. If David didn't call him Lord, how is he his son? Same way. And he is David's son. After the flesh. And oh, he asked that question. If David calls him Lord, how could he possibly be his son at the same time? And no man was able to answer him. I can answer that question. I had no problem with that question. God himself said, David said, I'm going to raise up a man to sit on your throne. How long is he going to sit on it? I'll sit on it just for a few years. But how long is he going to sit on it? He's going to sit on it forever and ever and ever and ever. Huh? He was born king of the Jews. David was anointed king. All other kings were anointed. Christ was born king of the Jews. And oh, I tell you, beloved, you know, and that's why our Lord said, if you believe Moses, you're to believe me. And I love that verse that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how are they going to call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe on Him of whom they have not heard? How are you going to believe on somebody you never hear anything about? And then how in the world are you going to hear anything about Him unless God's got a preacher? Everybody that was converted in this in the Scriptures was sent, a prophet was sent to him, or a preacher was sent to him. That's just the way God intended it to do. And I tell you, what does the Bible tell us about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Old Testament calls our attention to Him. You know, He says, to Him all the prophets give witness. To Him. It tells us that He's the fulfillment of all prophecies. You know, look with me in Luke 24. Look in Luke 24. We've seen this so many times, but it's worth looking at again. Luke 24:44. You know, He's the fulfillment of all the promises. God made a multitude of promises, made a promise. In Genesis 3:15, the first promise in the Bible. Oh, promise after promise after promise. And look what it said here in our Lord Jesus. This is after His resurrection, after He's just got through having a meal with His apostles, with His disciples. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written. Oh, it's written all over the Old Testament. It behooved Christ to suffer. You read Isaiah 53 and you'll see how He's to suffer. You read about Moses and how He's to suffer. And look what He goes on to say. That He has to die and be raised from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins going to be preached in whose name? His. Starting in Jerusalem, go everywhere else, all in the world. And I tell you, all the prophecies, all the types of the Old Testament, every lamb, every goat, every bullock, every shed blood, every goat, everything that was ever all bloodshed in the Old Testament pointed to the bloodshedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He says, you know, told the Jews, He says, search the Scriptures. He said, I want you to get the Bible. You search it. And all He has, oh, search the Scriptures to see whether these things are so or not, because they testify of me. And when Peter stood on Pentecost, you know what he started out? He started saying, I know all of y'all say He's the son of David, but David's got a grave over yonder. His grave's right here. We can go to his grave, but said, God raised up a man to sit on His throne. A man approved of God by wonders and signs. And then he got cut down there and he got to preaching. God made him both Lord and Christ. And they said, oh, brethren, what must we do? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when God smote him down on the Damascus road, the first thing he did, he went in Damascus and he straightway, because he knew the Old Testament, he knew it. And he straightway preached that Jesus is the Christ. And I tell you what, they got so mad that they had to sneak him out of there at night and put him in a basket and slip him down and let him slide away. Because they would have killed him. Right off the bat, he's just as quick as God struck him down on Damascus Road. He straightway preached that Jesus is the Christ. the Son of God. And I tell you, He is the promised Messiah, Savior, Redeemer. Like I said, the first promise in the Bible, after Satan had deceived our parents and deceived Eve, God said, I'm going to put enmity. But told Satan, I'm going to put enmity between the seed of the woman, and you. Said, he's going to crush your head, but you're going to bruise his heel. And that's talking about the Christ. And I tell you what, you know, and you go on, and he was the promised seed of Abraham. His promise to sit on David's throne, David's son. And I tell you, he was promised to be born of a virgin. Now, let me look in Isaiah 7. I don't know how many of you all remember this or not, but in Isaiah 7, look what it says over here. This is one of those promises, and this is one of those things that people stumble at. You know, there's people that worship Mary as the mother of God instead of Christ, who was God in the flesh. Yeah. But look what he said here in verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. How in the world is a virgin going to conceive? And bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? Being interpreted, God is with us. That's what that means. And then Gabriel came, and when it was time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. He came to Mary and said, Gabriel came to her and said, woman, you're going to be a child. How in the world can that be? I've never been with a man. He said, that holy thing that's going to be in you is going to be conceived of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. And I tell you, if they say, well, it was a young woman. The scripture don't say it's a young woman. It says it's a virgin. Huh? Oh my. He's going to be a law light to the Gentiles, to be a lawgiver to Shiloh. I want you to see this with me in Isaiah 42. You know, it says a lawgiver shall not depart until he that cometh. But here it says, you know, shall not depart before his feet. But look at Isaiah 42. Talking about Christ in the covenant. I mean, the Old Testament. You know, that's what we're talking about. That's all they had then, was the Old Testament. Look here in Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that comes and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. They just got through saying about that. This is my Father's world. And then look what he says. And I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and listen to this, given thee for a covenant to the people, of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Well, what are you going to do when you come? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness and out of the prison house. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what God said He'd do. And we're all witnesses of the fact that He did that very thing for every one of us. Huh? Oh my. He was called to be a governor. He's called the angel of the covenant that would come suddenly to His temple. And you know that was, you know the names that was given to Him? Just Isaiah alone gave Him five names. Not counting the lamb, not counting the sacrifice, not counting the Messiah. But He gave Him five names. Unto us is born a son. Unto us is born a child. Unto us a son is given. First thing you're going to call Him is wonderful. Oh, He is wonderful. Wonderful in who He is. Wonderful in who He saves. Wonderful in His death. Wonderful in His coming. Wonderful in His gospel. Wonderful in His blood. Wonderful in His righteousness. Wonderful in His justification. Wonderful in forgiven sins. Oh, He's wonderful.
Amen.
And then He says, not only is He wonderful, but He's the mighty God.
Yeah.
He's mighty God, the one I just read about. That has said He stretched out the heavens and He spread out the earth and everything that comes up out of the earth and everybody that walks on the earth, He gives them birth. The mighty God. And then He says this. He's the everlasting Father. How can He be the Father and the Son? Because He's everlasting. To Him and the Father are one. The Father's everlasting, the Son's everlasting. He's the everlasting God. And then it says He's the Prince of Peace. Huh? And the Prince of Peace. Oh my. Oh, what a God. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Everything we need was in His blessed Son. Oh my. The prophet spoke of His coming and through a virgin, called to be a covenant, called to be the lawgiver from Shiloh, and all the people gathered around to Him. The names that was given to Him. And He was a king. He was a king. They said, come see, let's go. Said, you know, they said, it's all right. Said, let's go see Him that's born King of the Jews. King of the Jews. And He was a conqueror. Oh, a mighty conqueror. He conquered, the greatest thing He conquered while He is in this world was sin. Sin. It's nothing for Him to conquer death. Because life is in Him. All power is in Him. But for Him to conquer sin. Conquer sin. He was a conqueror. You know, He was wounded for our transgression. Bruised for our iniquity. And God laid stripes on Him for our peace. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before His shears, He was dumb and He didn't open His mouth. And I tell you, He conquered. And yet it says this, that He was turned around. And though He conquered everything, He was a king. He was despised and rejected of men. And hated with a passion. And then it told us that He would die. He would die. But He wasn't going to die for Himself. You know, this is one of the greatest mysteries. That Christ stood as a lamb before the foundation of the world. And you know why He had to stand as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world? So God could, in His sovereign mercy and His eternal purpose, choose out a people. And that's why it says there in Acts 10, says we're witnesses, not He come to not all people, but only His people. And God said, I'm going to give you a people that no man can number. A 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands. I'm going to give them to you. But you're going to have to go in time. You're going to stand as a lamb slain so I can view them people in you. That's already dead. Putting away their sin. And in time, He came here. And bless His holy name. They took Him, Peter said like this, they took Him and slew Him and hanged Him on a tree. But you know what? God said, I'm not going to leave you dead. Why ain't you going to leave you dead? Because you satisfied Me in every way. Sin is dead! How do we know? I'm going to raise you from the dead. And you're going to walk on this earth for 40 days and 40 nights and only going to appear to your people and your people alone. And you know who He appears to now? His people and His people alone. And if He ever appears to you, I've got news for you. You'll do like everybody else did. Said, oh, they were so glad to see Him. Oh my. God raised him from the dead. And that's why we're preaching him. Oh my. And then he, as a king, when he come into Jerusalem, you think a king, when you come into Jerusalem, he thought he'd come in as a great conqueror that he was, as the mightiest, greatest, glorious king that ever lived, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you know how he entered into Jerusalem as a king? Riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. Boy, that's a wonderful way for a king to come into town, ain't it? Huh? You know why? Because he made himself of no reputation. Said he came meek and lowly, riding on a colt. And they said, How in the world? He cannot possibly be the king riding on a little old donkey. Can't possibly be. Huh? And oh my. And then he is sold for 30 pieces of silver. What were you giving it for him? I'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Well, how are you going to know it's him? Well, we'll go out there and the one that I kiss, that's the one you get. And oh, Judas come up there and seen him and all them people got him, kissed him on his cheek and said, they got him. But here's what he said. He said, if you get me, all these others got to go free. I love that. If you got me, everybody else got to go. You can't have me and all them at the same time. And I tell you what, I'm telling you what the Old Testament said to him, all the prophets give witness. And they told him, they said his price in Zechariah. And then it told us what they would do while he was on that cross. That they would cast lots for his garments. They told us everything that he would say while he was on that cross. Ever utterance. He made seven utterances from the cross. And the scriptures tells us every single utterance he made. The first one was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then he cried out, my God, the last words on the cross. Other than, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The last cry from the cross. When it got dark and the light come back on, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All that has come from the Old Testament. Huh? Oh, my. And the scriptures tell us in Isaiah 63 that he tread the wide press alone by himself. And then the scripture says, they shall look upon him, upon me, whom they have pierced. All these things. He says to him, all the prophets give witness. He was to be that prophet that Moses spoke of. He's supposed to be a priest forever, like the order of Melchizedek. And he is the only one who can and did reconcile us to God by his blood. We were enemies of God. God was our enemy. But when Christ shed his blood, he brought God and man together. And he brought them together perfectly. Righteous and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth met together. We're at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. He says, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And I tell you, every time we go to God, we come through Him. And I'll tell you something else about the Old Testament scriptures told us about Him. He holds all things in His hand. He's got all power in heaven and earth and all authority in heaven and earth. You know how we know He had all authority in heaven and earth? Because when he was that lamb slain and he walked up to God with that book sealed with seven seals on the backside and on the side and on the front side and the backside, said he was the only one worthy to take that book. The book of God's predestinating purpose, the purpose of God Almighty and the will of God for all eternity was in that book. And Christ was the only one worthy to take that book. and to open it up. Oh my. And you know it says He must reign. He's at the right hand of God right now. He must reign till the last enemy is destroyed. You know when the last one enemy is going to be destroyed? Death. All of the Lord's people that's in the grave right now, that's already went back to dust, and I mean they're dust. I mean they've done been blown through the wind. Every single one of them. When Christ conquers death, that's the last enemy to be destroyed when He comes again. And you know what He says? He says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Dead in Christ. Those people in the ground. That dust, wherever it's at. All the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, we which were alive and remain. They're going up. We'll be caught up together with them. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. And you know what else it says? So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then He says, comfort one another with those words. Oh my. He's put all things under His feet. The Scripture said, and I'll close with this, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the Lord of history. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of history. He's the Lord of the present. And He's the Lord of the future. And He's the one who's the judge. You know, the one that died for us and made us acceptable is the judge we're going to face. You reckon we'll make it? Oh, I tell you, it's just... Well, I'd like to told you. I just hit the high spot, you know. And I didn't even come that close to the hem of His garment. That's how glorious He is. That's how glorious He is. Our Father, oh, our blessed, glorious God. How glorious and mighty and majestic and august You are. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, there's so much to say about You. So much to worship You over. And Lord, we're thankful that You revealed Yourself to us, made us have some understanding of who You are, of Your blessed death, and what it accomplished. And Lord, we stand here, as I've said, perfect, complete, righteous in Your sight right now. As perfect and righteous as we'll ever be. God bless these dear saints. Bless the gospel to the heart and the understanding. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number one in the hymn book. Hymn number one. Hymn number one. Worship the King. If I can find it, there it is. Mine's tore up. All right, let's stand together. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. His power and His love are filled and defended the ancient of days, pavilion and in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace. Whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, His chariots of wrath that the thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. My bountiful God, what time can we
in prison he had, his hands in the land, his screams from the hills in distance to the plain, and sweetly he steals in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
See you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.